The first reading today is from the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. The second reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This, then, is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Here ends the readings.
Five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your faithfulness. You are always faithful. May your word speak to us this morning, deep down inside, to our hearts and our spirits. Amen. Alrighty, so working through the gifts of the Spirit, today we come to that of faithfulness. When I think of faithfulness, I think of God. But these gifts of the Spirit are things that well up within us when he is in us. And we get to be faithful too. But our faithfulness is nothing compared to his, of course. You know, we can't compare to God in any way, shape, or form. He is, you know, the ultimate of everything. But just the idea of faithfulness. When you think of faithfulness, there's a commitment that takes place, a commitment. There's dedication involved. There's trust. And a relationship. You can't really have that without a relationship. To be faithful. Faithful to what or to whom? You have to have a relationship with something or someone or a God. We model that. Of course, we have like marriage relationships here on earth where we are faithful to our spouse. We have relationships with our coworkers, with our friends, with our family. You know, there's all kinds of relationships. And in those, there has to be trust. Without trust, you can't really have a relationship, or at least not a healthy one. Let's put it that way. It would be very unhealthy if you're not able to trust the other. Of course, we can always trust God. He is always faithful, even when we're not. When I was thinking of the trust then too, what happens when there's a breach of trust? There has to be forgiveness and there has to be a time of repairing perhaps to come back together. Does that happen with us as God as well? Well, he's not going to stray. He's not going to wander, but we do sometimes. And he always holds up his end of the bargain. I mean, that's our God. And for that, we can be truly thankful. So when there's that straying and that wandering, we're the ones that need to come back. We need to repent. We need to turn back to him. And he is there, faithfully waiting. No matter what, no matter how prodigal we go, how far, he's faithful, willing to take us back. All right, as far as human faithfulness, we have to be faithful as well. Faithful to what or to whom, you may ask? Well, first and foremost, faithful to God. To the best of our ability, I mean, we are human, but to be faithful to him, because he must come first in all things. I remember when I taught over at Chicago, Alberta, we had a new principal came in, and he got up in front of the school assembly the first day there. He got them all in the gymnasium. It was about 20 in a grade, so maybe all 100 of them, and he pulls out a soapbox. He stands up on this box of soap, and then anytime he did an assembly, he'd always get on his soapbox. Literally, he would do that. It was sort of fun. But he was talking about the importance of the school to him and how it's the third most important thing in his life. He said, first and foremost, it's God. And I'm thinking, I like this guy right off the bat. Okay, this is good. He's right there in the school assembly saying that God is first in my life. He's going to come first no matter what. Second is my family. My spouse and my family. And then third would be my job and y'all. So that was sort of neat to hear that. By doing so, he was being faithful right there and standing up for what he believes in. And great guy. Love him. So we must be faithful to God first and foremost. Again, he's got to be the top of the list, right? The top of the list. I'm faithful to Jill and I love her, but I love God more, okay? You're probably okay with that. I know I'm okay if you love God more than me, okay, because he has to come first. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then the others come after that. So, yes, we must also be faithful to others around us. You know, to be honest, to have integrity, to be trustworthy, a value that was instilled in us as we were growing up, right? To be trustworthy, to have integrity, to be honorable, to be a man of your word or a woman of your word. Absolutely. And we must also be faithful to ourselves. As Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet, to thine own self be true. We have to be faithful with ourselves as well. And that can be the hard one sometimes, huh? So in the faithfulness, and if we're going to learn faithfulness, where do we learn it from? Who do we model ourselves after? Well, maybe our parents showed that growing up, and that's great if they did. Maybe they didn't. Some people come from a hard background. But we can always strive to model ourselves after God. I mean, the ultimate role model. Does it get any better than that? It doesn't. God is the ultimate role model. And we try to be like him, right? To the best of our ability. We try to have these traits and characteristics that define him. And if we do, hey, that's great. We're representing him faithfully. We are going to fall short at times, yes. But to the best of our ability, we're going to model ourselves after God, who is faithful. His faithfulness appears in many different ways. Throughout our lives, we can look back in the rearview mirror over our shoulder, and you can see places where he's been faithful, even when we're not. He is faithful in his presence. He is always with us. We may not always acknowledge it, unfortunately, but he's there.
If you seek him, he's there in the good times and in the bad times. His faithfulness was shown with the Jews, with the Israelites. All through the Old Testament, you can read about the faithfulness of God, and in the New Testament, and today. Okay, this is not all history. He is faithful yet, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it says in Hebrews. So God being faithful to his people all through the Old Testament, as they wander, as they stray, as they make bad choices, he's faithful. That doesn't change. It's an unchanging attribute, characteristic of God, because it's who he is. He is faithful. He is loving. He is patient. He is forgiving. All these things. His steadfast love endures forever. Doesn't change. Again, he is faithful. And he is also faithful to forgive. And that's what we heard in 1 John here today. Again, no matter what you've done, no matter how rogue you've gone, how prodigal you've gone, etc., if we turn back to him, if we repent with a contrite heart, I mean genuinely, sincerely repent, and that's something I wonder if we do enough. You know, we say the word sometimes when we confess. But are we saying it from the heart? Or are we just saying words? Do we realize the depth of our sin and our shortcomings? Or do we just sort of, God's going to forgive me anyway. I don't have to worry about it. I'm saved. Well, if you have given your heart to Jesus, you are saved. And then we should seek to please him in all ways by what we say and what we do. Because we are that new creation in Christ, right? The old is gone. It's out of here. The new has come. And this new creation in Christ is going to seek to live in close relationship with him, to seek him out, and to model our lives after him. So God's faithfulness to forgive, we heard about that in 1 John today. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Yeah. How arrogant would that be? And to be arrogant to God. Okay. He knows. He knows what you've done. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows. You're not going to tell me anything that's going to surprise him. Like someone once said, you know, he can ask God a riddle or tell him a joke, and he already knows it. Okay. But he knows us, and he knows what's inside. He knows our motives. He knows why what we do and why we do it, right? Other people see what we do, but do they see why we do it? Do they see the motive of the heart? God does. So if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Absolutely. Is anybody here without sin? I'm not going to raise my hands, okay? Anybody worthy to cast that first stone? No, absolutely not. If we say that we're without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have a breach of trust with God. And again, to repair a breach of trust is going to take some time and some effort. He's faithful on his part. But again, when trying to restore trust, someone could just say words. I'm sorry for what I did, okay? And maybe not change their actions. That would not be good. It has to be genuine repentance, right? To restore that trust. But it continues, though. If we confess our sins, and this involves humility, of course, to confess our sins, to say that, admit that, hey, I'm not God, but you are, okay? We try to think, or tend to think pretty highly of ourselves at times. And that humility in confessing our sins, yeah, again, it should be genuine, sincere, and from the heart. But if we do it in that way, he is faithful and just. There we go, the characteristics of God, faithful and just. The faithful part is great for us, that he's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to us, to his promises. The just part should be a little scary to us, because he will give people what they deserve. And if it weren't for Jesus, we'd all be doomed. Every single one of us. Every single one of us would be doomed if it weren't for what Jesus did on the cross. So he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins. It says will. It doesn't say will maybe forgive our sins or sometimes forgive our sins. He will. Because he is faithful, right? He is faithful. He will forgive our sins and purify or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, the word all. All right, not just some unrighteousness, but all. Now, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's because of what he has done. We can't claim credit for this. We can't take the glory for ourselves. No way. It's because of what Jesus has done that we can be cleansed, purified from all unrighteousness. Only through him, the way, the truth, and the life. So if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. That's God. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar. Right next to that, I wrote yikes with an exclamation point. Yeah, calling God a liar? That would not be good. Okay? The all-powerful God, the just God. You know, it's no fun to be called a liar. If someone takes your words and twists them around and says them to someone else, that's not fun. Okay, and if we're going to call God a liar, that's serious, folks. Very serious. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So let us strive then to be like God, to be truly thankful for what Jesus has done, and to offer our lives up in return, that he can make a difference through us. Because he's a faithful God. The question is, are we faithful, I guess? God is going to be faithful. You've already said that, okay? That's done, all right? He's faithful. Can't change that one. But are we always faithful? All righty. Let's see what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that we read today. He's writing to the church of Corinth. This, again, is a seaport. It's a town where Las Vegas would probably pale in comparison from what they say. Okay. Everything was available in Corinth. There were people, sailors from all over the world coming there, and it was known for this kind of behaviors, okay? And Paul establishes a church there, which is great. They needed it. Of course, we all do, right? We all do. But here's this beacon of a hope in this corrupt city that's just shining God's light out there. And he's guiding these people with at least three letters. We have 1 and 2 Corinthians. He makes mention of a third one. Wish that would be unearthed someday, that we could read through it and learn from it and see what it has to say. There's so much wisdom in here. And he's guiding the people. He's giving them guidance, okay? So he writes, "This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries of God." Entrusted. Yeah, God has entrusted us with something. That means we have to be faithful to take care of it, to guard it. But, and this one we're not going to lock away in a vault to guard it, okay? It's going to be in our hearts. And as a result, we're going to share things with others. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to share God's truths. Those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. What are the mysteries? I did research on that one, and I'm still not sure that I have a complete picture myself. Lord, what are the mysteries? You've entrusted them with us with them. I went into the Greek and I looked up, does this word have a different meaning? No, it was mysteries. I was hoping that would shed some light on it. I read a bunch of commentaries. And the consensus seems to be the gospel and the truths about God. We've been entrusted with that. These things that may be mysterious to the rest of the world, to those that aren't believers, it doesn't really make sense to them. But to those of us who are believers, we're starting to catch on. We've got a little bit of the mystery revealed. Now I just want to unmask, you know, and find out what it is. You tell I grew up with Scooby-Doo, perhaps. Okay. To solve that mystery, to know the complete mystery here. The mysteries, it says, revealed to believers. The things that are revealed to believers won't make sense to the outside world. The gospel being one of them. His truths, I was able to infer that. But again, I want to understand more, Lord. Unveil these mysteries to us that we can be entrusted with them more and more. All right, the mysteries God has revealed. Okay, I feel like I don't see all the mystery yet. It's not firm in my mind. I want more of it. I want to understand. Lord, I do. All right, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Okay, if you've been entrusted with something, I've heard about the servants of the master and the gospel today, they were entrusted with these bags of gold. They have to be faithful. You could go out and squander them. They could do all kinds of selfish things with them, etc. We'll get to that later on. So we've been entrusted, and we must be faithful. Faithful to God. And faithful to those around us. Paul goes on, I care very little if I'm judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. To be judged by God or judged by humans, which is more important? Yeah, okay. Now, to go before a court can be stressful. People get anxious going before a human judge. I understand that. That judge has a certain amount of authority he or she wields, and they can make this sentence or determination or that one. And they have some power there, but it's nothing like going before God. All right. Jill and I have been in court a number of times with foster kids, okay? It's not that weird. But that judge then has the power to determine, is this child going to stay with the mother and father, or are they going to continue in foster care or go up for adoption, etc.? I don't know that I'd want that job. That's some heavy-duty stuff there, just determining the future of this child in their life. And so there is a certain amount of power that human judges have, but it's nothing compared to God's power, right? Appearing before Him would be even more scary. And guess what? We all are going to. Every one of us is going to appear before God. You think a human court's scary. But luckily, because of what Jesus has done, we'll be cleared of all charges. You know, God looks on us and He'll look at Jesus. And Jesus will say, I took care of this one, Dad. And then, yeah, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Alrighty, he says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. And again, if we've accepted Jesus, we have nothing to fear in this one. Nothing. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. We're not to be judging in the meantime. Let Him come. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Again, He sees not only what we do, but why we do it. The motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Okay. You would expect at that time each will receive their judgment. Receive our praise from God. Wow. It's great to get human praise. I mean, we all love that when someone gives you a compliment or says something nice. That's great. But to get it from God? Wow. That's incredible. Each will receive their praise from God. They will receive their reward for their faithfulness. Faithfulness will be rewarded. If we are faithful to God, we will be rewarded. We got a little glimpse of that today in the gospel here, where we had the three servants. They've been entrusted with various amounts of gold. Two of them improved on it. You know, and the other one just hid it away and broke even there. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth with them. Trust and faithfulness. Again, there's a whole lot of overlap between those two. A whole lot of overlap, trust and faithfulness. If you've been entrusted with something, you ought to be faithful. So he gave them varying amounts of gold, and the two went out and made good on it. And they got to hear those words that, wow, I think who wouldn't want to hear, and we all want to hear. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. To hear that from God, yeah, that makes it all worth it, doesn't it? That makes it all worth it. This entire life, all the struggles you've gone through and your shortcomings, your failures, but His faithfulness, to do your best for Him, and at the end to hear that, it's incredible. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. That point, I'm thinking, what? More responsibility? It's sort of like when you get rank in the military. You get promoted to sergeant, and you're going, yeah, I got that. And guess what? You got a lot more responsibility now. No, this is a good thing, though. Okay. He's just showing his happiness with him. And says, come and share your master's happiness, to share in his happiness. Yeah, That's wonderful. Of course, the one who had not done anything with the gold, you know, it did not end well. But this sort of, I haven't received any bags of gold, have you? All kinds of it, okay. Did you bury it, Roger? Hopefully not. So with what has he entrusted us? We haven't got bags of gold. Well, he's entrusted us with those mysteries, I suppose, the gospel. And are we to keep that gospel to ourselves? No. Are we to see it grow? Are we to share it with others? Absolutely. Just as that gold, you know, grew in value, here, this gospel, if we keep it to ourselves, it won't have a chance to grow. It won't have a chance to go out and make a difference in this world, to bring people healing, to bring people hope. Those that have no hope, they're just going through their life, not knowing about what's available through God. To bring that gospel to others, to bring the healing that it can do emotionally and spiritually, all the wonderful things that come with it. Also, the gifts we've been given. We've all been given different gifts from God. Are we to just hold on to them? Gifts are meant to be shared and given, right? That's the deal here. We have to use whatever gifts we've been given for God's glory and for His kingdom. So all these things, the gospel and the gifts, these things, we are to share them. We are to use them. We are to see them make a difference in this world, to go out there and do something. Not just to sit there, not to bury them, but that they would multiply. Multiply. You just sort of like a boop, 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 boop. You know, you awaken in one person, they awaken in a couple, three more, and they awaken it more. All of a sudden, it's exponential growth, right? It just shoots right on up. And that's what it ought to be like. As we're sharing the hope that we have in Christ Jesus with others, that they would come to hope as well, that they would come to belief, and then they could share with others, and that the kingdom would just grow exponentially. So let us be faithful in that. Let us be a part of that multiplication, not division, and not just addition, but multiplication, to bring it to others. So don't keep it to yourself, folks. God has done wonderful things in your lives. Anybody here that you haven't seen God do anything wonderful in your life? He has, because He is faithful. And we are to share that testimony with others, that the kingdom may grow, that others may come to faith, that they may have hope for this world and the future to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty.